NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Have you heard? Sling TV offers the news you love for less.
Hey, wait, you look and sound just like me.
I am you. I'm the same news programs on Sling TV for less.
You mean you're me, but for less money?
A lot less. I'm all the favorite news programs and more on Sling TV, starting at just $40 a month.
Everything great about me, but for less money?
Which makes me greater, don't you think?
Get the news you love and more for less.
Start saving today. Visit Sling.com to see your offer. Sling.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and the NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the odds and lines on everything, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get on the action. Bet online, where the game starts.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Motor City Metrics Podcast here at TigersMLReport.com. I'm Royal Helio Castillo. This is the third time in a row that I cannot say my own damn name. Alongside me is Mike Papchek and Chris Brown. Youper should be with us here shortly. The reason why I played that was because it was the same old kind of like where you get the feeling that fans are going to get that Scott Harris is not going to spend money. But we'll get to that in a lot. There's a lot that has happened this week in terms of world of baseball. I want to get to the Pablo Lopez stuff. There's plenty. Thank you, Pap, for putting that in there. There's plenty of stuff to get to. There's just a plethora. The Tigers winners. They won 5-0 in Boston, 3 home runs in left field. So that was awesome to see. And that's without Kerry Carpenter. And the Jack Flaherty had a no hitter for going for 6 2/3 innings. Is that what it was? Or 1/3 innings or yeah.
A long time.
Well put.
Yeah, I'm wearing this hat. First of all, it's a cool hat. I don't look good in hats. I have a big stupid head. My friend John gave me this hat a couple years ago, but I was called out for being not cool by a certain minor league team in the organization this week. So I wanted to prove to them that I can wear a hat. If I'm not one of the cool kids. But it's not going to stay on for the rest of the show. I just wanted to have it for a second.
Yeah, that was a good way to start the road trip. And yes, I did cave in. And before you're going to say anything about my hat, yes, I did get a fitted hat yesterday at the game. Thank you for everybody who came up to during the game and came up and talked to us down in section 128. Yeah. As it was funny today during softball, Max Bowman of the Athletic and I was talking to Colton, and they're both like, "Jesus, Tigers Twitter rolls hard." And I was like, "Hey, you have no idea how hard Tigers Twitter rolls." So shout out to everybody who came out there yesterday. But I ended up getting the cap. It's, you know, I know that it's a subject of hatred, or you like it or you hate it. But quite frankly, I have to add it for the collection. I have the Seawolves one too, or I'm actually started doing hat reviews. But Tyler, yes, we have thought about doing live commentary during the game like those Jays guys have, but just trying to figure out how that I want to do it where Chris, we're all in the same room possibly, but that's not going to, I mean, Youper lives in Iowa. So, I mean, I like to figure it out. We'll figure it out someday, but for the draft, usually we do the show live in studio, like together. So what I might do is I'm going to try that out and then might build it out. So, yes, that is a concept that's going to be in the works. It's just have to figure out logistically how to get it all coordinated. It's pretty easy to do, but I think it'd be a lot more fun if we had it at least once. I don't know, Chris, we could do it at your house and then have these guys remote. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Absolutely. We had the 1 year when the draft was the same night as the Futures game. We kind of did a little bit of that. But that was also like a technical issue. Like it was just tough to do that. Remember, we had Jake on the other side of the room, and we were sitting in the middle. It was a hard to set up. It would be fun to do. At the same time, I don't know. you know, having not done that before, I do feel like there would be a decent amount of us just kind of suddenly getting quiet and watching what was going on. Although if you were sitting near us, and again, we went to the doubleheader yesterday and yes, saw Stan, we saw Ray, we saw Mike, we saw Terry, we saw a whole bunch of people. It was very cool. And it's good baseball talk chatting. We went down there with Brandon and Mark Garash and yeah, just a good time down at the ballpark. Saw a couple pretty interesting games. Scoob Bowl dominant, Tigers tearing up, Jared Jones, Paul Skeens, ridiculous. And Keider Montero's MLB debut. It was a fun day at the ballpark for sure.
Yeah. And like I said, I think there's the streaming camera. There's things we can do to get it done. And at some point it's going to happen. I think during the draft show, that is going to probably be towards the end of June. I think we're going to try it out the end of June before the draft. I think that is totally feasible because Crystal is about 45 minutes away from me. And Pap, Old if Jackson. You wanted to go out there for that, by all means, I don't want to inconvenience you at your
part. Dude, I live in Royal Oaks specifically, and I don't mind saying that. I live in Royal Oaks specifically because it's near everywhere. I can get everywhere.
Yeah. No, and that's what I like about where I live off, like, the 94. I live right off 94, and it's essentially 20 minutes. Detroit's or Comerica Park's, like, 15, 20 minutes away from me. I live, like, right where, like, I live in Dearborn area, so that's, like, smack dab in the middle of everything, so it's kind of nice where I could just jump on 75, I could jump on 94, 96, whatever you anyway. Prefer to. But
a map to Roger's house later. But
we can don't. Yeah, I live in a cul-de-sac. No, but no, Ray, it was good to see you yesterday too. It was so funny because Ray wasn't. I pictured Ray differently for whatever reason on there, and so it was just funny to. He spotted us by literally us talking baseball. So yeah. it was an unexpected surprise. So
a lot of fun stories too. He did, not to interrupt, but he came there with his son, and I won't say his name just in case he wants to keep it private, but he said he taught his son about Mark Fidrich when he was young, and his son got a custom Tigers jersey and wanted Fidrich on the back. And nice. When he got it, he was swimming in it. And now it's like a muscle shirt because he's all grown up, but he was still wearing it at the Tiger game. It was fun to see.
Yeah, but Sean's going on about Evan Petzl ridiculous immaculate hair. Look, I've seen the guy's hair in person at press boxes all the time. The guy's he's a handsome man. We all know it, and he's the envy of everybody in the press box. So
he sat with us for 4 or 5 innings in game 2.
Yeah,
we were all sitting right there, in the back. It's fun. You're getting around with your baseball buddies and chatting and. You know, everybody's noticing different things and that pitch didn't work. And I don't know, it was a good time down at the ballpark. Nice break for me from job hunting. But the Tigers in that first game played one of their better games of the year, and then they did it again tonight. You would argue. So 2 of the last 3 games, pretty darn good.
Tonight was a lot of fun. There was a lot of good things to hang their hat on tonight. I mean, whether it was the pitching, they had a couple good defensive plays. Showed some power from people not named Carpenter. Good stuff. Badu's home run was a little bit of a shocker, but opposite way, that thing was a thing of beauty.
Yeah. I mean, it goes into some of the things that, in terms of batted ball dad and Toledo, why he's been rewarded the way he has. So if people wonder why he got the call versus Justin Henry Molloy, well, first and foremost, he's on the 40-man roster. And second, because of those things like that. And he's able to hit the ball consistently hard and he's been, and even defensively too, he's been a lot better on the outfield. So I'm happy to see him get that opportunity. And then there was the question that came up during the week was, well, how come that he got that call up instead of Parker Meadows? Well, I think Parker Meadows is a guy you want to give steady at bats versus, the way you can put in Akil Badu, you can come off the bench, however you see fit. And Parker's kind of a guy you want to play every day. So there's questions about that, but it makes sense now. If you look at the way it's worked out so far, he had a home run today, and he's been able to play a solid left field. So defensively, it's not hurting yourself at all with that. And that's why even Riley Green, who's more familiar, I mean, Riley Green got off the sign, hit his first home run since May 6th tonight. And I think that was something he needed that. And with Carpenter, with a lower back inflammation, Lord knows when he's going to come back, because if there's one thing about this, you can do a drinking game with her. How many times we talked about back injuries and how much a back injury is a thing where it doesn't go away. Because if you think about what you do every day, you involve your back. I'm doing this right now, talking. I'm going back and forth. And I'm just doing that on purpose. But just the point is, everything you do with your back. And so it's just a matter of like when he's going to be able to come back. And that could be any time. So it could be a week. Could be a month. Who knows? You don't want him out that long, but it is kind of a very big blow to the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really happy for Riley Green. I mean, it was definitely a huge benefit to be at Fenway for that home run. Like, I looked into it. It would have only been a home run at Fenway and down in Houston. Two out of 30 ballparks. So, you know, like, nothing like playing at Fenway to just wake up your bats, I guess. So I don't think it's not a bad thing. I hope for Riley's sake that it just kind of wakes him up a little bit and shows that he can hit a home run, because at this point, if nothing else, it'll help him mentally. I wanted to bring up yesterday because I thought that the Pirates series was a perfect encapsulation of exactly what this Tigers team can give you on any given day. They can give you that 8-0 dominant pitching staff win. They allowed three hits in that game. And they won that 8-0, and then they gave it right back. And I've been saying this since I got on this pod, and I'm going to keep saying it. Don't be surprised if they're 81-81 with a zero-run differential, because they were one game under 500 with a zero-run differential coming into this Boston game. I've been keeping an eye on that. I got a little counter every game that I changed. So I don't know. I just thought, while we did see some good things, and I'm not trying to be a downer, like Chris said, two of the last three games have been pretty good. It's amazing to me, and it was against Paul Skenes, of course, but it's just amazing to me that a team can have those high highs and low lows on the same day.
Yeah, no, and it's true. I mean, one of the things that, especially watching Paul Skenes just go out there and carve and do those things where he's throwing a splitter at 90, 97, 96 at the bottom of the zone, and just that slider too. I mean, it was watching him work, and just one of those things that you, I mean, especially against the Tigers' young hitters, and you know, it is a thing where you're watching Paul go pump out 99 consistently, and the Tigers were able to scratch something across, and Montero had his work cut out for him. And yeah. Although Montero, you put pitches in the top of the zone with guys like Andrew McCutchen, they're gonna hit it. I mean, Andrew McCutchen, he walked off a double. That was a weird thing. He backflipped a double, and I was like, I was a little. I mean, I know you're
retired. I going a bit.
I was really surprised that McCutchen, batting 221 this year, got to that. It was, at least on TV, it said 96, and it was really a little above the zone. He got to that pitch and drove it. That was actually pretty impressive.
The home run against Montero.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about that. That was, you know, Montero, it was center cut above the zone, but it was still in McCutchen, you know, in his heyday, I think had some of the best bat speed we've seen since Gary Sheffield. And so I think he's probably still, I actually haven't looked to see what his bat speed is still, but you know, a wily old veteran. Mm-hmm. It didn't shock me a ton, but yeah, it was, I don't know. We saw out of Montero kind of what we expected. Honestly, he did a little bit better than I thought he would. He kind of duplicated what he's been doing in Toledo the last month or so. And just, you know, a couple mistakes there, which is, that's just like, that's the step he needs to make to become a viable big league starter, is to just not make those mistakes over the heart of the plate. And Reese Olson was the same problem, really. And they figured that out pretty quickly in the big league. So I don't know. I don't think that's the last time we'll see Montero this year.
I don't think so either. Paul Skenes, I'll tell you, watching that game, that splitter was the splitter Casey Mize was supposed to have. You know, that thing was insane. The one he threw, they called it a splitter on TV. The one he threw to Colt Keith that faded away and just made Keith look like a child. It was really something else. He's a lot of fun to watch. He's going to make people watch Pittsburgh games.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, speaking of Pittsburgh, their fan base was by the second game, first and foremost, the first game, everybody emptied out. It was because I think the kids came for the first game. And then by the second game, I mean, you could walk up from a lot of guys walked up from the upper deck down the lower seats. Everybody left. And so no one wanted to stick around for Paul Skeens, apparently, but Pirates fans did. Good yeah, Lord. Man. There was a guy dressed up like a pirate down. that guy. You know that guy is Pirate Steve from Dodgeball. That was Pirate Steve from Dodgeball.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that the actor, by the way, a talented actor, Alan Tudyk, I think his name is. Yeah. Yeah, that guy's awesome. But,
One of the things, that first game was Jared Jones, and I didn't know what time the game was, actually, so we were a little bit late, and then there was the thunder and lightning when we were driving in, and Wenzel Perez hit that triple off a 98-mile-an-hour fastball to start the game, and I think it was Petzold and Mark were talking, or some of the beat writers were up there looking, and when Evan came down for the second game, they pointed out that Jones didn't get a single swing and miss on his fastball against the Tigers in that game, and that's been a really dominant pitch for him for most of the year, and so there's some speculation that maybe the Tigers saw something. They were able to pick it up. Basically he was tipping his pitch or something, because they put it on him. That's his worst outing of the year. So that was fun to see for Tigers fans. But the Pittsburgh fans it was impressive. Although, as we were saying, anybody with a tie to Pittsburgh is certainly going to come watch Skeens, if they have a chance.
Okay, so we got on base twice tonight. Tell me, what do you guys think of the Matt Vierling renaissance?
Oh, I love watching Matt Vierling make Mark Gourashi his good words yesterday, because on his pod, he's been a critic of Vierling quite a bit. And Vierling, again, even yesterday, watching him, he's one of the good, bad, the ugly this week. The biggest thing about Matt Vierling is that it's the pitches. I mean, the pitch tonight, that was a very good pitch, and the pitch recognition he's been able to do at the plate is a step up from what he was able to do last year. And so the consistency is there. He's batting, I think, 285 now, something along those lines. And so he's had a really good month of May. Somebody was, saying something about the All-Star team. Slow down. We're not there yet with that. But, keep things in perspective. Look, I mean, Matt Vierling, I'm excited for Matt Vierling. But, I mean, we didn't talk about the biggest elephant in the room yesterday. That was Tarik Skubal. It was this masterclass watching him yesterday. Yeah. And the Pirates, I know the Pirates hitters. I mean, you think of guys like Connor Joe. Look, half the Pirates are just like, who the hell are these guys? these rosters. And so watching Tarik Skubal, even while getting there late, still just worth every penny, because there was a couple innings where he had like 11 pitches or 6 pitches. It was just, and sitting, some of the guys were just sitting there going like that. Right there is efficiency at its finest. Right there is when you can see that happen.
Yeah, I think he had a 6 pitch inning at one point. Was crazy. Because I was listening to it on the radio at that time, and Dan Dickerson's trying to tell a story, which you can remember about what, but he didn't even really have time to start it in that inning because it was over in like 2 minutes. But no, I feel less ridiculous. Something I'd get a lot of heat for when I started talking with you guys was when I told you that it's almost getting to the point where when I watch Tarik Skubal, I expect something like that yesterday every time. And I'm not comparing him to Verlander, but I'm saying that was the last time I felt this way with a pitcher in Detroit. And he has made that look like a not really that ridiculous of a statement so far this year. It's really become something you almost expect. So I don't know. I'm jealous that you guys got to see even a couple innings of that, late or not. That's definitely something to see and really makes it worth going to the ballpark at least once every 5 days. I mean, 3/5 of the starting rotation, let's be real, is probably worth going to see just on pitching alone.
Yeah.
I think that was a good segue to get into talk about our Skubal topic, but I did right before that, I wanted to go back to Vierling and not to, boost up another podcast too much, but Evan wrote a story about that, and on their podcast Days of Roar, he really went into the numbers. But you can see him right on Fangraphs. If you look right now, Vierling's line drive rate is up 3%. His ground ball rate is down 14% this year. Fly ball rate up 12%, and beyond that, he's pulling the ball 7% more of the time. So he's always been a guy who hit the ball really hard. It's too much on the ground, too much the other way. If he can continue to pull the ball in the air this hard, he's going to have a lot of success. And so far so good. Cross your fingers that it's a real change. And yeah, it's been looking good.
He really seems to be covering both halves of the play too. I mean, they're really having a hard time getting anything past him right now in any quadrant. So that's the role he's on.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's good. And as I tease there, we've talked about Tarik Skubal a bunch. And I had the misfortune of, after that doubleheader, my phone was basically dead. So I had to listen to 97.1. And the topic of discussion that was how the Tigers have to trade Tarik Skubal because of Scott Harris's comments about not being ready to spend. And we'll talk about those in just a minute. And maybe this isn't the best time to have this discussion, because we've talked about, if you trade Skubal, you got to get something great.
By the way, I do have the video of Harris talking about Skubal too. So I had that ready to go too as well.
About Skubal or just about spending money?
About Harris and Skubal.
Oh,
spending money. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to play the Skubal one right now. Go ahead, or I can set the thing up.
Set it up. Yeah.
So yeah, basically the I said we've discussed the trade, but I asked you guys to come up with a realistic
over the weekend for Skubal. Tigers now a game.
Well, I wanted to do. Sorry.
just come up with a realistic Tarik Skubal extension. What would it look like if the Tigers were to actually do the Colt Keith sign Skubal for the rest of his arbitration eligible years and sign him to a long-term deal. And just to set up, I'll just put out these basic facts that we know for Tarik Skubal. He is currently 27 and a half and under team control for the rest of this year and two more. So he'll hit free agency as a 30-year-old. He's making just $2.65 million this year, presumably due for a significant salary bump next year, probably close to $8 to $11 million or so. And then possibly anywhere 14 to 19 the next year. So probably 20 to 30 million over the next 2 years. Tommy John surgery in college and flexor tendon surgery before the 2023 season. And he is represented by Scott Boras, who is not known to have players sign pre-free agent deals. So those are the facts we know about Tarik Skubal. And if you guys want to discuss what you think a real contract extension would look like, now's the time.
Wait, who was it that talked about this? Was this Caputo?
No, it was Rieger.
Dead! This is the garbage you're giving!
They've been talking about it since January. They have nothing else to talk about. Every time they talk about baseball, trust me.
That's to me! Say that to anybody! Say it to somebody!
That's just the truth, dog.
Well, the reason why I just wanted to preference that. Before you go on, I just wanted to make sure that wasn't good. I mean, Caputo has said that garbage before too. So anyway, go ahead, continue.
Well, I just think that, with the Boras factor, I mean, there are certainly a couple of examples where his guys signed an extension early, but 8 times or 9 times out of 10, he's going to bring a guy to free agency, right? Because that's where that's where he makes his money. That's where the art of his deal is. So that's, a big factor, and they'll take Chris Illich wanting to invest in a guy who has a Tommy John in college. So the average lifespan of a Tommy John surgery is 8 years. Doesn't mean he's going to break down after 8 years, but that's kind of what the number is. He could go 10. Who knows? Nobody knows. So with the injury factor and everything else, I would be hesitant to go much past... We're going to preface all of this on that he stays fairly healthy, right? Mm-hmm. That, maybe he has an ankle injury, but he doesn't have an arm injury. Okay. Right. And that he continues to pitch, maybe not this well, but pretty damn close.
Mm-hmm.
If those two factors came together and he was willing to sign an extension, I put down 6 years, $200 million. Okay. And what I would think they could do, I'm sure he won't do an Ohtani, but they could do a Max Scherzer where some of that money is deferred out into his 40s or whatever. So if he's willing to do something like that, maybe Chris Illich would want to dip into the reserves to go for it. Hard to say. But I think the biggest thing right now is just, will he stay healthy these next 2.5 years?
Wow. I thought I was going to be real high with mine. So if you said 160 or 180,
6 years, 200.
Oh, 200, not even close. Okay. So that would put him Just based, that would be like the sixth highest paid pitcher in terms of overall value, or seventh, right behind Aaron Nola. I think that that's a good place to start, because guys like Aaron Nola, Tyler Glasnow, who else? Robbie Ray also signed these contracts. Kevin Gausman, they all signed their contracts at age 30. I don't think that anyone has the injury history that that Scooble does. But I think that if you use those guys as a baseline, and if this year really is for real, and he makes, you know, 30-plus starts this year and he stays healthy, then I think that – I mean, I was aiming at 5 years, $35 million a year is where I was thinking at. I know Boris guys are always going to go for longer, but it does seem like a lot of these guys are signing roughly five-year deals. It's kind of what seems to be close to standard. So putting him at 175, that would put him just a little bit over Nola there. But, yeah, that's what I came up with.
Well, I mean, there's a couple things that have to happen in order. I think the idea of the trade, I get why, you know, why you'd say it over and over again, and some little messaging, and you know, maybe you change things around. Maybe you start charging more for things, and you start bringing other things you have to do to make that happen. I mean, do we want deep dish combos to $40? No. Do we want to keep Derek Scooble? Possibly. But it's, I mean, he's gotten bigger. I mean, and Matt Broder from Woodward Sports brings up, like, he's gotten, his mechanics gotten better. But overall, since Erie, too, I mean, he's gotten, like, he's gotten bigger. He's a horse. So that's encouraging. And he's gotten into that. If he's getting that kind of regimen, then that's great. I mean, you have a guy who will probably break some of Mickey Lolich's longstanding records as lefty, except for single season strike. Well, innings pitched, because I mean, there's one, I think it was a year where he pitched what, 373 innings or something like that. 71, I think it was 71 or 72, where he threw an obscene amount of innings, which will never be seen again, because
like 35 complete games or something.
Yeah, four. Billy Martin's like, screw you, I'm gonna throw you till your arm falls off. So, actually, you know what? Jacob Lewis brings up a good question, because we do have, I've been doing some little messaging this evening. All jokes aside, there is an image, though, that does tie into what we're talking about. So it is interesting you bring that up. And as soon as I pull up here, it is the – yeah, I have it pulled up here. So one of the things that they're talking about in terms of net worth, and we had this early – and I do want to play the video for them talking about Scooble here in a second as well. But here is the net worth. Hopefully everybody can see it here. Of the owners. So if people were wondering how they got an ownership, so this was something that a listener on Facebook sent this over. So how they got their money. So inherited, so you see here, Little Caesar, of course, you know, food, or where's the Tigers at right there? So pizza, meat services. I don't know what Dick, it's so funny that Dick Montfort got in an area from family for meat services, a guy named Dick. Anyway, I just thought that was funny. Personally myself. But a lot, you know, asset management, shipping, which makes, yeah, from, you know, his inherited his dad, clothing. What the hell did John Fisher do? What clothing weight is
the Gap. I think his family owned Gap, right?
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Stupid Banana Republic and what else is
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So Bob Nutting, newspapers, which is kind of like old school inherited from family. So it's interesting to see how many people have inherited from their family. So, but the Reds are, by the way, only $400 million worth. That's it. Yeah, that surprised me. So
just $400 million. Tough break.
Just $400 million, you know. So
that's, yeah, less than Ohtani.
Well, based on that, what would you pay Scooble if you extended him, Roger?
Well, I pay him? Well, knowing that they won't pay him. I mean, I hate to say that that way, but if I'm going to, I'm giving him whatever he wants. If he wants a key to the city, great. You know what I mean? Like, you get, how old is he going to be? Is he going to be a free agent when he's 30? Is that right?
30.
Yeah. 30. Well, knowing that they're going to have the Tampa rule in effect, if I want this to happen, give him no more than 4 or 5 years tops. Because by then, every year he's going to.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Have you heard? Sling TV offers the news you love for less.
Hey, wait, you look and sound just like me.
I am you. I'm the same news programs on Sling TV for less.
You mean you're me, but for less money?
A lot less. I'm all the favorite news programs and more on Sling TV, starting at just $40 a month. Everything great about me, but for less money? Which makes me greater, don't you think? Get the news you love and more for less.
Start saving today. Visit Sling.com to see your offer.
Sling.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
I decline a little bit. Because if you go in by the rule of 30, you don't pay a pitcher over 30. Look at Tampa. Tampa doesn't do that.
Yeah. You know? Well, so, yeah, I mean, whatever he wants, I guess it depends on, you know, if you're doing 5 years and you give him $45 million a year or whatever, then okay. I was thinking about this a lot, and I actually, you know, I my dollar value is I think, significantly less than you and Mike, and maybe I'm just being super optimistic. But the way I was kind of looking at it is I think both Scotts here need some good publicity. Scott Harris, after, you know, prove to Tigers fans that you're building that foundation that you're talking about. And Scott Boras, and we've talked about this before, like, hey, you know, he doesn't let guys get to free agency. Scott Boras isn't a dummy, and he just got his lunch taken last year. Like, he got that was an awful free agent period for Scott Boras. His four big clients, Matt Chapman, Cody Bellinger, Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, all had to settle for like 1 year, prove it, you know, multi small deals for less money than anybody thought they'd get.
Didn't Jordan Montgomery fire him too?
Yep. Like Montgomery changed agents. Yeah. So I think Boras could use some positive publicity from a big contract here. I mean, it's Scott Boras. He doesn't need it that much, but I think, signing a big deal beforehand might not be as crazy as we once thought. And so the way I was looking at it was, I don't think even if Skubal pitched, 200 innings this year and the next 2 years, I don't think he would get the equivalent of what Garrett Cole got a couple years ago, which was 9 years and $330 million or whatever.
Right. 324. Yeah.
But the pitcher that I keep coming back to, who also had a very lengthy injury history, is Zach Wheeler, who was also 30 when he signed a free agent deal. And he signed for 5 years and 100 and I think 18 million, 120, something like 20, 24 million a year.
118. So, I got him right in front of me. 118.
And obviously, you know, it's been 4 or 5 years since then. So you're going to throw in a little inflation, but if you're also buying out the next 2 years. So I thought, okay, you know what? Give Skubal 5 years and 26 million for that extension, but also give him 15 million this year and 15 million, or not this year, but the next 2 years. So then you've got 160 million for the next 7 years. So signed to he's age 35. And then, you know what, to make it like give Boras another win, tack on two vesting option years, right? But make him kind of like, so Skubal has to throw like 350 innings combined in 30-30 and 30-31, something that he's probably not going to do. But if he does, it automatically triggers a $30 million extension. And if he does like 150 innings that year, another $30 million. So then he's got $220 million over 9 years. That would make it the largest contract ever for a left-handed pitcher, passing David Price's 7-217. So Scott Boras could crow about that. You know, I got the biggest left-handed pitching contract ever for Tarik Skubal.
That makes a lot of sense.
It feels vaguely realistic to me. Again, it's an awful lot of money to put on a pitcher. Pitchers break constantly. We know that pitching development has gotten so much better that pitchers come from everywhere. But the hardest thing to get in baseball is still a legitimate ace. It's still the hardest thing to find. And if you have one, and you think he's going to be healthy, and nobody would know that better than the Tigers, I think you try to lock him up if you can. Make him turn down $160 million that could be $220 million. Make him turn it down.
I was going to say 5 years, $160 was about – I mean, I said 5 years tops. Just 5 years only because by age of 35, if he could pull a Justin Verlander or Max Scherzer, that's totally feasible. But at that point, you have to kind of look at your value and look at the way it's just the reason why I'm not trying to be cynical, or it's just like I look the way the Tigers are spent. And I mean, I want to just play this real quick here.
Be as high as he is number two in ex-WOBA, his opponent's ex-WOBA. You see first pitch, chase rate, top five, hard hit rate, weak contact, top five, whiff percentage, he's sixth in the league. So you tell me, like, how has he emerged as an ace?
You know, Tarik has done a lot of things behind the scenes.
By the way, Scott Harris looked like he got a giant, his table moved underneath there a little bit, if you catch my drift. The smile he had on his face when he was doing the stats, he's just like, yeah. Yeah, that's my guy. Yeah. Yeah. He was going to stand up after that.
He's developed a new changeup that is a real weapon for him, and he has the right mentality on the mound. He's absolutely fearless. He's going to go right after every hitter with his best shapes, and he is going to keep putting the pressure on the hitters and try to step on their throats at the end. And he's not the only one. You know, I think in this organization, we are pitching a lot differently than we have as recently as a year and a half ago. You could put some pretty interesting Statcast boards together for guys like Reese Olson and Jack Flaherty. And a lot of the other, young pitchers that we have in this organization right now. We're really proud of our pitching development, and we got a lot more coming along the way in the minor leagues right now.
Yeah, you went out in the market.
All right. So, I mean, that's a prelude to things to come. And David Fly, I like what he said. It's an unhealthy thought experiment, Illich ain't paying. But this would also be a PR win for Chris Illich if he cares about those kind of things, if he pays Tarik Skubal.
Well, and again, I go back to what I said earlier. I really think that the deferred payment is an option. I mean, that's another one where, as Chris noted, Boras can crow about the total dollars, right? And the Tigers can, delay some of that pain financially, if you want to call it that. And Skubal has money coming for a long time. I would just wonder if Scott Harris is the kind of guy who wants to get into those kind of things that the Tigers have not done before.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not here to carry any water for Chris Illich, right? Like, we've all complained about, we need to see more. But, we're a couple of years away from him spending a fair amount of money on Javi Baez and Eduardo Rodriguez, right? Like, that was the Skubal deal that I was proposing is like the same amount of money as Javi Baez, right? It's $26 million a year. What's Baez making? 24, 25?
Yeah.
And that everybody talks to, the Tigers spend more money. They spent, I think they had the eighth or ninth most money spent in free agency last year. Like, it wasn't a ton, but they spent money. It's just their payroll is still so low that it doesn't feel like it, and they're still relying on these young guys. So I think that, if it were a real option and Scott Harris thought it was a good idea, I think Illich would be willing to spend that money. Maybe that's just me, holding out hope that he's a little bit more like his dad than we thought. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, you Skubal, that real frontline pitcher, started his career here. Like, make him – I know if you're not going to sign him, then who are you going to sign long-term, right? Like, it's Colt Keith again. It's fun. But, I don't know. I haven't given up complete hope that they won't spend moderately, really. I mean, that's not even – it sounds like a lot of money, but it's not – compared to what other teams are spending.
It's money every team can afford.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Rodgers just showed us that every team can afford it. Even the Oakland A is worth $3 billion, which is mind-blowing, really.
Yeah, that's the problem. And that's the problem I have with it. You know, like, that's the whole thing is I'm not trying to – it's just you got this feeling – I mean, Chris, I'm with you. Like, I want to – they did spend. And to a certain – I'm not going to sit there like what 97.1 says. They're like, they didn't spend at all. No, they spent. Shut up. They did. So I just – it's the one of the things that I really think – if he promises resources and then, I mean, he did, I mean, in all reality, look at the Tigers have done on the farm system. They're building a facility in the Dominican Republic. They build one in Lakeland. They have done nutrition. There's a lot of little things they've done. So they have spent because the stuff in Lakeland's not taxpayers money. They have to spend on it because the Tigers own Lakeland. They own the Flying Tigers. So that being said, they've been able to do that with. So it's just now what Scott Harris has to do to prove to everybody else is how creative he is getting free agents and trades. We haven't seen, that's the thing, like you haven't seen that yet. And so that's where a GM's worth his salt. That's why Dave Dombrowski's a Hall of Fame. That's why the Phillies are off to the best record they've had in over 100 years, because he has been able to sign and get in. Position himself the way he has, and so that's why he's consistently a winner.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.